You'll believe, you really begin to believe truth when it's when you have a revelation of that truth, when it's revealed to you. There is nothing more exciting. Why do you think I keep beating you up alongside of the head to read the Word? Why do we keep hounding you to read the Word every year? Read the Word every day. Prepare yourself for every Bible study. Read the Word. Because as you read the Word, guys, there will be revelation. The things will be revealed to you that you'll get no place else. And when it's revealed to you, when you have a revelation of the truth of God, nobody will take it away from you. Nobody will talk you out of it. Nobody will rip you off. Satan won't be able to rip you off from truth. But it comes through revelation. It's not just, you know, reading and hearing, but when God reveals the truth. And He does that, man. Haven't you had revelations as you've been reading the Word? And all of a sudden you just go, whoa! I'll bet nobody ever saw that before. And all of a sudden it just penetrates your heart. And it's implanted there. And no matter what, it's going to stay there. That's a revelation from God. And that revelation comes as you read and meditate upon God's Word. If you're not reading and meditating upon God's Word, you'll never have revelation of the truth of God. You'll just be hearing somebody else talk about it. You know, and that's good. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But it really comes by us hearing us read the Word of God, man. All right? So, there are things in my life that nobody will ever take away from me. Why do you think the martyrs could watch children being maimed and beheaded before their very eyes, refusing to denounce Jesus? How do you think martyrs would go to the stake to be burned, and all they'd do was denounce Jesus, and they would not do that? How do you think they were able to do that? Every one of the disciples died a martyr's death. How do you think they were able to do that? These guys were a bunch of cowards. If you read the Bible, they ran when Jesus was arrested, didn't they? Peter said, "I didn't know the guy," and he swore he never saw him, man. What happened? There was a revelation in their lives. The truth of the reality of Jesus Christ was revealed, and nothing will ever take that away. Are you following me? That's why anybody can confront me, they can argue with me, they can be, you know, much more intelligent than I am, but they'll never talk me out of my relationship with Jesus and the truth I know, because it's been revealed and it's been burned into my spirit. I didn't join a movement. I don't belong to a social club. Okay? This is not a social gathering where we're trying to meet all of your needs so we could have big crowds and, you know, we'll take care of you here and take care of you there, and this is gonna be and all of that, so we have this big social club going on. We're a gathering of born-again believers in Jesus Christ, filled with His Spirit, wanting to know Him deeper than we've ever known Him. That's why I'm here. I don't know about you, but that's why I'm here. But be open for revelation. Be open for God to burn the truth into your spirit, man. It happens by His Word. God said through Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 55:11, "My word, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I sent it." And how does it prosper? Hebrews 4:12, "For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart." Why does this matter? Well, a huge mistake made Paul's opponents, and many even today, is that it's through the mind that the knowledge of God is obtained. Later, it would be called Gnosticism. See, secret knowledge was the key. But in reality, it was nothing more than false doctrine. But it sure made the people in the know feel pretty special. You can have all the degrees you want. You can have all the letters after your name. But knowledge alone will not save you, only faith. Are you following me? I've been around so many people that Gnosticism is alive and well today. I don't care what you say, man, it is. I've had so many people over the years talk to me about their deeper truth, okay? Or their deeper understanding of the things of God. And they try to explain it to me, and I just have this blank look on my face. And I go, huh? And then they say something like, well, when the Spirit reveals it to you, bro, then you'll understand. It's no deeper truth. It's a deeper walk with Jesus every day as we study His Word, man. But don't get caught up in that. You know, knowledge puffs up. You know, we learn, we study, we learn, but there needs to be a constant outflow of what we're learning, or pretty soon the head gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and we get top heavy and we go down. He that thinks he stand, take heed lest he fall. And why does Paul say this? Watch what happens next, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Oh, this is so good. What a great verse. Look at this. I love this. This treasure, what treasure? Of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. That's the treasure. Knowledge of the glory of God in Christ, of Christ in Christ. That's the treasure, okay? Is contained in clay pots. That's me. That's you. That's us. Well, all the clay pots, just wave your hands for a minute, man. We're just a bunch of yucky clay pots, man. I love that. With the most expensive, costly thing of value in the entire universe inside. Now, some would say, and I wouldn't say that, could it be a cheap shot? Some would say we're just a bunch of cracked pots, but I wouldn't say that, you know, just for a cheap laugh or something. See, if we start thinking that in ourselves we're something special, then we need to begin to realize again it's the treasure inside, not the pot that makes it so. One problem we get into is that we look around us, don't we? And instead of seeing the treasure inside, we see the pot. We see the weak flesh, and we say, boy, that person sure has a lot of faults. Man, God will never use them. Or how come God's using them? They have all of these hang-ups and all of these problems, and we start looking around. What we need to do instead is focus on the treasure. Focus on the treasure inside. What Christ has done for us. How wonderful He is. We need to focus on what it's like to be in the process of being transformed into His image. I mean, on the outside, I'm still the earthen vessel I was the day Jesus Christ came into my life. I mean, I've gone through, this is me after a lot of change, but I'm still the same old earthen vessel, man. And I want to focus on the treasure in all of our lives. So we start looking at people, it's not, now look at all the fun, and yeah, we had to start, wow, and start talking about Jesus and how wonderful He is and what He's done in our lives and what He's doing in our lives. I love that, man. I'm not talking about sin. If we see our brother sinning, we should gently try to help him out of it. But again, that's focusing on the grace and forgiveness of God through Jesus, not making the pot better. See, we always try to make the pot better. We look at people and we say, here are their flaws, so I better point out some.
We may not say that, you know, verbally, but that's what we're thinking. I better do some things to help clean up that pot.
Why don't we focus on the treasure inside and let Jesus do the cleaning up, man? We just need to focus the people to him so that we can all be in the process of being transformed into his image by the renewing of our minds as we spend time in God's word. And that treasure is indestructible. Look at verse 8. This is what I was talking about when we started. We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Boy, some of the teachers today would tell Paul he shouldn't say this stuff, man. He's speaking negative here, isn't he? Look at this, man. You shouldn't do that. We're hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you. Paul is basically saying, you can throw any kind of crud you want at us. And even though it might appear that the enemy is winning, the ultimate victory belongs to the Lord. That'd be a good place to say amen. I mean, did you hear that, man? So you can throw anything you want. A lot of it looks like it's going to stick, and you may be, you know, but the ultimate victory is Jesus. When you've gotten discouraged, when life begins to seem unfair, when it seems like Satan is winning battles against you right and left, Paul knew what that felt like. Jesus knows what that feels like because he felt it for you. He was discouraged. Jerusalem, how many times would I call you as a father? Hen would call his chicks unto himself, and you've rejected me. Looked over Jerusalem and wept. You don't think he was discouraged in the garden? Gethsemane? Absolutely. He was discouraged. He knows what it is, man. He's been there. And what is happening is that Jesus is allowing death of sorts to enter into your life so that his life might be revealed through us. You see? Now, how does that happen? 1 Peter 4, 1 says this, therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind, for he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin. Whoa. That he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. When we suffer, we can arm ourselves, prepare by knowing that he is dealing a death blow to sin, making us more like him. Now, I know that's just a little comfort because you want to know exactly what to do. Although there are things to do, I'm going to give you what Paul gives us in the next verses. Verse 13. And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Now, verse 13 comes from Psalm 116, verse 10. I believe, therefore I spoke. I am greatly afflicted. What I want you to see in that psalm is that the author, unknown, we're not sure exactly who the author is on the 16th psalm, is openly admitting his trouble in the Lord to the Lord. He says, I believed, Therefore, I am greatly afflicted. What do you do when trouble hits? Do you run and hide from God, holding on for dear life until the crisis passes? Or do you put on a happy face and pretend nothing's gone wrong? Well, I would suggest to you that you do what the psalmist and Paul did. Let it out to the Lord. It's like when a little child gets hurt outside. That little kid wants mommy and daddy. Right? All about that mean tree that jumped in front of him and scratched him and messed him up. And it may seem really insignificant to us. It's so important to them, and letting them tell the story just helps, doesn't it? They're pouring out their little hearts, and you're thinking, that's no big deal. But to them, sharing it to you is a really big deal. And they feel better because you listened. When we pour out our hearts to God, I'm sure a lot of time he says, you know, I've already promised to take care of that. I mean, that's really not a big deal. But he doesn't say that. He listens and he cares. In fact, he says, cast all your cares on him for he cares for you. Did you know I looked that up one time and there are two different words for cares there? Cast all your cares on him, all the problems, and the other words for cares has to do with the plan, because he has a plan for you. He already has something worked out for you if you just cast your cares on him. Yeah. Just telling our story to the Lord helps. Don't close up to God. Just be open with him. Therefore, verse 16, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Isn't that a great promise? Isn't that great stuff, man? You know, I mean, I'm sharing from my heart tonight, too. You know, a lot of you have been praying for my dad, been praying for Wanda, you know, my bride. And, you know, my dad's back in the hospital, and he's not doing real good tonight. All right, they're going to drain some fluid out of his lungs tomorrow, and he keeps filling up. You know, so continue to pray. You all love him. Pray for him, you know. And continue to pray for Wanda. She's not doing real well, okay? And continue to pray for her, would you? And as we're going through this stuff, you know, and that's why, and I'm not, you know, I'm just sharing with you the truth. That's why for a while it's been like this, and it'll be like this for a while. You know, I'm basically here on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings, okay? You need somebody, one of the other guys, and then the other staff's going to help you, because right now I'm not here, okay? My ministry right now is to my wife and to my dad, and that's what I feel called to do. But I am here, you know, to teach and so forth, because, you know, as I was going back and forth between my house and the hospital, as something would happen in one place and the other, and I was going back and forth, I'd been studying for this, and I went back here to this to these verses, and I want to just read them again. You know, it was so cool. I called my friend Rob, Pastor Rob, and Ramona, and he's also teaching. Happens to be the same time he's teaching in 2 Corinthians on Sundays, and so we were sharing, and he was giving me some insight what God was saying to him about this kind of stuff, and it was cool. You get so encouraged sharing the word with somebody else that cares, you know. And I called and said, "Man, would you? I need you to pray with me, bud. You know, and he's my praying partner, and I need you to pray with me. Just." I've got to teach tonight, and I just, you know,
things are going on. I've heard some things. I need you to pray with me. And we prayed, but then we started sharing the word together over the phone. What a cool thing to do, man. You know, that's so cool. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Oh, we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Your clay pot is going to get more cracked than it's ever been because people are going to take shots at you. And on the outside, you might bear the little scars of many a hurt. I know I do. What matters, though, is what's happening on the inside. Paul says, we are being renewed day by day. Do you love that? That means to be refreshed or to be made stronger. Our outward selves, our bodies, our old nature is decaying. So
it is.
So is yours, no matter how sharp you think you look. Yeah. Okay. I saw you looked better than you do tonight. Yeah. Okay. But our spirits, that part of us that can respond to the knowledge of the glory of God, is being made stronger in the process. It's hope that something good is happening besides appearances. Aren't you glad, Charlie, you don't have to make the decision based on appearances? Make the decision on the hope of what's going on the inside, man. So then Paul calls trials, you like this? Light and momentary troubles. Oh, yeah, right. I call my trials heavy and everlasting. They haven't been light and momentary. But Paul's point is that compared with what's coming, compared with the eternal life, compared with eternal joy, compared with the presence of God, no more sin or death or suffering. Compared with that, it's momentary. If your affliction lasts your entire life, it's momentary compared with eternity. That's what Paul is saying. We see all the trouble around us. What we don't see is the work going on inside the clay pot, the clay pot, where the treasure is. Stand with me. I want to read you two more verses. Stand with me. Okay? In fact, why don't you read them with me? John 16, 32 and 33. Just read them with me. Indeed, the hour is coming that you will be scattered, each to his own, and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You know what? We've seen the movie. We win. We win. Okay? So it's not all about the tribulation and the trials today, man. It's not all about that. It's all about where we're headed. Stop storing up for yourself treasures down here, man. Start storing them up there.
get your eyes off of the stuff here and turn them back on Jesus. I have no idea where everybody is, but we're going to sing anyway. And we choose once again to surrender to you, Lord. Lord, I know that this room is filled with folks that are going through some tough stuff. This room is filled with people who are looking at tribulation, hurts and disappointments. Some can stand here tonight and say it's been going on for a long time. But Lord, would you show them tonight, as you've shown us in your word, that it's a momentary light affliction compared with glory, compared with the eternity that we are soon to experience in your presence. Oh, Jesus, we sure love you. We choose again, Lord, to not deny that we're going through stuff and not to put on a happy face. Not to try to fake it. But Lord, there's a joy in spite of all the stuff, because you've started a good thing down in there and you've promised to complete it until the day we see you face to face. So Lord, we anxiously turn our eyes back towards you. We're just a bunch of clay pots, earthen vessels. But oh, what a treasure we have inside. The greatest treasure of all time. So we surrender to you. Lord, I ask that you would encourage my brothers and sisters tonight, Lord. Encourage those who are, have been just kind of overwhelmed, and they've tried to fake it and put on a good front. Oh, God, set them free tonight. Set them free to see you beyond that and to be honest about what's going on, Lord. No games. We pray for each situation, Lord. We do. Every heavy thing anybody walked in here with, Lord. Stuff in my life, stuff in their lives, stuff in everybody's lives, Lord. Some of that stuff is just so overwhelming. We choose now to surrender it to you, Lord. Just to let it go. Surrender to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Because it's all about you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just a cappella. Let's just do the old hallelujah, can we? You're my Savior. I will serve you. I will serve you.